to the history of Ashton Grange, number 247. The history of Ashton Grange, number 247 of Ashton, Maine, covers 65 years of the three-quarter century of the existence of the patrons of husbandry. Aroostook County, as one of the more important agricultural counties of the state, early recognized that the Grange might go far to relieve the isolation of farm life and fill a definite need in the industrial and social life of farm folk in a new country where social contacts were not easy. As a result of this desire to meet others who would like interest, the Houghton Grange and the Eureka Grange were the first granges to be organized in Aroostook. Within a few years, the granges at Caribou, Maysville, and Presque Isle were also begun. It was from meeting and talking with the members of these earlier granges that Ashton farmers became interested in the Grange. On March 9, 1883, a group of representative farmers, their wives, sons, and daughters, met at the schoolhouse, which then stood at the spot now occupied by the town office and fire station in the village of Ashton. At this meeting, with the help of Columbus Hayford and Henry Rawl, two members of the Maysville Grange, the Ashton Grange was organized with the following charter members: James Darman, Ella Darman, Malcolm Darman, Eben Traston, Alpheus Traston, N.D. Smith, Lucretia Smith, Ira Howe, Sophia Howe, S.S. Gilman, Annie Gilman, Angus Young, Elizabeth Young, Mariah Allen, Olive Moores, W.P. Brigham, E.H. Offutt, Annie Offutt, Mrs. Charles Reed, C.D. Hughes, Warden Rafford, Mrs. Warden Rafford, N.S. Coffin, Reverend Keith, Joshua Bartlett, Margaret Bartlett, Andrew Flint, David Sylvester, W.E. Hopper. The first officers of Ashton Grange were Master Alpheus Traston, Overseer W.E. Hopper, Lecturer N.D. Smith, Steward Malcolm Darman, Assistant Steward Angus Young, Chaplain M.R. Keith, Treasurer S.S. Gilman, Secretary W.P. Brigham, Gatekeeper Malcolm Darman, Ceres E.K. Young, Pomona Sophia Howe, Flora C.D. Hughes, Lady Assistant Steward Annie Offutt. From the time it was organized until 1890, Ashton Grange prospered. The membership grew to about 100 and meetings were well attended, remarkably so when one considers that there were the real horse and buggy days and distances were much greater than now with our automobiles. The roads, none too good during the summer months, were all but impossible a greater part of the winter. This was because the snowplow and snow roller became in use. The Grange meetings were held at Moore's Hall, which was over the store of A.T. Moore's, which stood on the corner now occupied by the Chassis Department Store. This made a real home for the Grange, and the Granges had almost unrestricted use of the hall. By 1890, the Grange, besides having acquired a good membership, had a good-sized library, a fine organ, and all the necessary regalia and working tools. On August 23, 1890, a special meeting of the Grange had been called to meet State Master Prince and State Lecturer Churchill, who would be present to inspect and give special instruction in degree work. During the early hours of this morning, the Moore's building was destroyed by fire, and all the property of the Grange was lost. The meeting was held that evening at Haywood's Hall, which occupied the upper part of the building where our appliance shop now is. With all the regalia destroyed and state officials present, the meeting must have been held under unusual difficulties. The only equipment available were two ritual books, which happened to be out among the members. If one looks closely at the present charter, he will observe that it is now the original one, but issued to replace the charter reported destroyed by fire. During the period from 1890-1899, interest flagged. Meetings were held at different places, at schoolhouses and at homes of members, at Haywards Hall, at Winslow Hall, and at the vestry of the Union Congregational Church. Some years, no meetings were held at all. At times, interest revived, but soon slumped again. There was some talk at the better attended meetings of buying or building a hall. Various schemes were considered to raise funds for this purpose, but none of them worked out. From January 30th, 1897, until June 24th, 1899, no meetings were held. On the latter date, a special meeting was called at the Union Congregational Church Vestry to reorganize the Grange. District Deputy Columbus Hayford was present at this reorganization meeting. The following old members were in attendance: Nathaniel Coffin, A.L. Sloat, Angus Young, Mrs. E.K. Young, Mrs. Charles Reed, Wesner Bartlett, Fred Bartlett, S.S. Gilman, Annie Gilman, William Garding, Lucretia Garding, and Frank McQuarrie. A number of new members, whose names are not recorded, were also at this reorganization meeting. New officers elected were Master A.L. Folk, Overseer S.S. Gilman, Lecturer Elizabeth Young, Steward Delano Hughes, Assistant Steward Percy Reed, Treasurer Angus Young, Chaplain Mrs. H.A. Cooper, Secretary Sophie Coffin, Gatekeeper Fred Barker, Series of Preachers Garding, Pomona Malvina Hughes, Flora Annie Gilman, Lady Assistant Stewart Susan Coffin. Arrangements were made with the Knights of Pythias Order to hold meetings at Haywood Hall, which had been leased by them and was known as the K of P Hall. On July 8, 1899, a meeting was held here to install new officers and complete the reorganization. Future meetings of the Ashland Grange were held at the K of P Hall until our present building was erected. Meetings which followed were all well attended. Many new members were being added, and with the prospect of brighter days ahead, the Granges again dared hope that they might have a hall of their own. It was not until 1906 that any definite move was made. Then, at an enthusiastic meeting, about $100 was pledged, and some five or six farmers promised to donate the potatoes from an acre of land. During the spring of 1907, ground was broken, and by the fall of that year, or early winter of 1908, our present building had been erected and the hall partly finished. On February 22, 1908, the hall was dedicated. In the evening, an old-fashioned ball and supper was held with 100 couples attending. The years which followed were perhaps the most prosperous of any of the history of Ashland Grange. The membership increased to over 200. The building was completely finished. Attendance at Grange meetings was very large. A degree team was started which for years made the ritualistic work much more interesting. In 1909, a Grange store was started, which for many years did a very large and fine business. The indebtedness on the building was paid and the mortgage was burned. At the close of the World War I, the Grange store was carrying a very large stock of high-priced merchandise. When the slump came after those years of inflation, this slump and too many credit accounts forced the store into receivership. A mortgage was placed on the Grange building to keep it from being sold to satisfied creditors. For the next decade, With economic conditions not so favorable, little was done. When hard times came, the mortgage was foreclosed, and the Grangers had troubles of their own without trying to keep alive on an ailing church, Grange. During these years, the building became much more of a liability than an asset, and the hold of the mortgage made the Grange a very good proposition, whereby they might buy back the building at a very low price. Money was hired on a mortgage, and the hall was rented as a dance hall and basketball hall. The rental was sufficient to pay taxes, insurance, and meet the payments or mortgage as they came due. This was the state of affairs when the light of better days ahead began to pierce and clouds of depression. A faithful few had stood by and attended to the financial affairs of the Grange, so that the hall was clear of debt and once again the property of the Grange. Then, after 4 years without a meeting, a special meeting was called during April 1945. An informal meeting was held with assistance to the National Master, Sheets, State Master Bean, and District Deputy Norton present. A few of the old Grangers attended this meeting, and it was decided to make an effort to reawaken an interest among those who had been members. Then came a number of meetings, one on May 12, 1945, with Boyd Akeley of Eureka Grange acting as master, and another with Fred Sylvester occupying master's chair, May 19. Brother Sylvester had been master for 18 years and had served in that office and other of the higher offices for many years of faithful service. As a result of this renewed activity, applications for reinstatement began to come in, as well as many new applications. A large class was given a degree work being done by a degree team composed of officers of Eureka and Aristocrat Union Granges. On June 2, 1945, a class numbering 57 received the final subordinate degree. A picture of this class appeared on the front page of the National Grange Monthly. At a meeting held on June 9, 1945, a new staff of officers was elected and installed by Deputy Norton. Thus, the second reorganization of Aston Grange was completed. The 3 years since have been years of comparative prosperity for Aston Grange. There is much to encourage our faith and hope for a still more prosperous future. We own a large and commodious building, clear of debt, upon which many much-needed repairs have been made. However, there is much still needed in the way of repairs to put the Grange building in first-class shape. We have a membership of around 200, many of whom are interested and anxious to see our Grange prosper. But best of all, our juvenile Grange, with boys and girls being trained to take up and carry on the Grange work when we older ones must lay it down. So, with a prospect of continued advance ahead, the problem which may be encountered from time to time should not be too serious if we can pull together. There shall be brighter days ahead for Aston Grange if we can only remember the lessons which the past 65 years should have taught us. Respectfully submitted, Aston Grange History Committee, Lehman Young, William Barnes, August 2nd, 1948. The coming of automobiles, doing away with the horse and buggy days, and TVs, and sporting pants, and so forth, the Grange has gone down like all orders. It isn't the only order that has, but it still is in existence. And if it could be built up, it's one of the best orders that you could have in a community, because it is a family affair. The whole family can go to the meeting. A child 14 years old is a Grange member, and we can all go. And therefore, when you come home, you can all discuss it. It isn't like so many orders. It's for the men, for the women, and for the young people. But as it declined, why the Grange was such an immense building, it needed so much repair that we just couldn't afford to have it done, and therefore it just depreciated until we had to have it torn down, to our regret. But we are in the contemplation right now of having another hall built. Small, you know, place that would be suitable for